days in this country there have been floods in the Midwest that are destroying property and taking lives. A couple months ago, California, floods did the same thing. People lost their homes. People were lost on their feet and yards. Tragedies out here. Whenever any of these events happen, people are interviewed. I hear many times God brought up, where was he? How can he let this happen? How can he say he loves us, loves the world, when he allows these things to happen? And then, I guess it was not quite 2 months ago, it was, you know, over in the Near East, I guess they call it, Far East, whatever. And I guess the last count I heard, there was 178,000 people who are dead. Entire villages destroyed and missing, nothing left of them. I've seen photographs that print my heart out. I've seen photographs that made me sick to my stomach. There's one that sticks out in my mind. It's in the bay of this one city, and there's all this debris in the bay. You can't even see the water because of all the debris that's floating on it. And I thought, I looked at it and I stared at it. It wasn't debris from buildings. It was bodies. All bodies. And then I've seen some film clips, movie clips of it. But astounding. You know what? I don't know if you've seen it. It showed the one city, and the water was moving through this city like it was a river filled with debris, cars and buses just going by like they were traveling on the road. They were just being swept out. What a tragedy. And again, the question comes to mind, how and why do these things happen? Where is God? How can he let this happen? I mentioned at the beginning of a young student who was killed in a tragic accident. The majority of those dead in the areas hit by a tsunami were children. Innocent children. We know that God is love, do we not? The scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his own Son for this world. So we know that he loves us. We know that he is an understanding God, an all-knowing God. He says things before they happen. He knows they're going to happen before they happen. So he loves us, and he knows these things are going to happen. Why would he post us? He is powerful. We know that Christ stood up in the boat amidst the storm and said, peace, be still. I guess you could say even if the Lord didn't realize that this was going to happen as soon as it did, and there is a mountain of water rushing towards these cities, could he not have said, peace, be still? But he did. How and why? Scripture tells us that who is strong like the Lord, who rules the raging seas when the waves are all rise, who is still there. Amen. The lack of preventing or warning about tragedies has caused so many actually to question God. To question how much he loves us, even to bring into question his existence. Does he really exist or have I been duped my whole life? People talking about this wonderful God that loves others, that would allow something like this to happen. Even unbelievers. I want to read from an article that I read by Barrett Pujol. Okay, that's all. I'm sure that's not how it's pronounced. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. I'm not going to mention it anymore. It's a lady. I believe she is Israeli. And this was written January 13th. And it's published in News with a View. It says, Asia's devastating tsunami has revived some age-old questions about the nature of our Creator. If God is a sovereign, why does he allow natural disasters? How can a good God condone so It says it illustrates today's postmodern shift from truth and facts to a feeling-based ideology. So what this woman is saying is, look, this guy is showing us how religion has come, where it has come. It's not based on fact. It's not based on truth. It's based on people's feelings. What they think is right wrong. What they think God should do, should not do. It says, notice the new view of right and wrong in the following admission by Dr. Ron Williams. The Asian tsunami disaster should make all Christians question the existence of God. It would be wrong if faith were not upset by the catastrophe which had already claimed more than 150 lives. Every single random accidental death is something that should upset the faith bound up in comfort and anything. In other words, what he's saying, you know, the scripture tells us to, that we will have peace in the Lord, and he knows us, he will never leave us in this forsake us, he will protect us. And what this man is saying, well, if that's what your faith is bound up in, when something like this happens, your faith has to be shaken. In every single accidental death, not only 150,000 and more are destroyed, but when a school student is riding to school on a bus, and the makers of God are just foolish and he is a thief, they should shake your faith in God. It's pretty absurd. Well, but it's amazing how common it seems to be. Dr. Williams represents 70 million Anglicans around the world, then raised this question, how can you believe in a God who permits suffering on this scale? The author then states, you can't. If your quest is for an amiable God who conforms to our wants, those who have reimagined God as a benevolent force more in line with Santa Claus or Hollywood's angelic helpers must close their eyes to his own self-revelations in the scripture, which is true. What she's saying is that, look, those who think God only wants perfection in this world right now and does not allow evil things to happen is more that kind of God, or God is more in line with Santa Claus or with the angels that Hollywood delivers to us through their programming, and it's not the God of truth. And there's a reason why it is, and I'm going to touch on that some today. There's an interfaith website, it's called BeliefNet.com, that has posted this question. Visitors. Does God have a role in natural disasters like this tsunami? Now, those who respond to this are obviously not restricted to Christians, Hindus, Buddhists, Islamics, Muslims, and Christians. In general, those were the majority that answered this question, but they were all asked that question, and this is how they answered it. 3% of those responding said yes, that God had a hand in this, he is punishing us. 8% that yes, God had a hand in this, but he's testing us. It wasn't punishment, it's testing. 30% say that the tsunami was sent by God, but they don't know why. So that's what 41% so far. 50% say they believe in God, but this was a supernatural event that he had nothing to do with. And the final 9% do not believe God exists, and disasters like this one are just forces of nature. God's absolute sovereignty. That's brought into question basically by number 4 that I just stated. A lot of people believe in God. They think it was a supernatural event. God does nothing to cause these or prevent it. Which is interesting in itself because it's almost like God keeps a hands off type of approach. And I would have to ask again, well, there's 178,000 died, the majority of the children. How can God say he is love and God is love when he allows this to happen if he just keeps a hands-off approach to this situation? God claims power over tsunamis like this. His scripture clearly shows he claims power over the environment, over the environment that he created, over his creation. Job 38:8 says this, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb and said, thus far you shall come, and no farther here you shall your proud ways be stayed. In other words, he says to his wife, you ain't going any farther, and they don't. And he could have done that to the tsunami. I mentioned a scripture earlier in the book of Psalms. I quoted it, and here's what it says. It says, O Lord, you rule the raging sea. When its waves rise, you still them. And we know our Savior Christ himself said, peace be still, and he was still. So the power's there. Yeah. He did nothing. The 9% who are the unbelievers claim that such events actually prove there is no God. That this creation is imperfect or imperfect, and that these kind of things naturally happen. If there was a God, he would have been a great designer, and his creation would not allow for these kind of tragedies. The natural disasters, as we call the floods, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the tsunamis, the earthquake. You see, a God, an all-wise, all-knowing, all-able God will not create something that would allow these possibilities, that would allow these kind of things to happen. You see, there is no God because nature is flawed. They claim that nature reveals there is no design, and thus there is no God. I know differently, and I hope you know differently. There were 3% that claimed it was from God, and that it was punishment. Christians claimed it was punishment against those idolatrous people over there, God bringing his justice and righteousness down upon them. 178,000. People, many children. Oh, by the way, some Christians were involved. But he was bringing his punishment down upon these idolatrous people. The Muslims, not to be left out, claimed that this happened in that area, which is majority Muslim, because they were too accepting of Christians. They allowed Christians to be there, they allowed Christians to preach, and thus Allah was punishing them for being tolerant of Christianity. It's interesting how people view these things when they view the punishment of the Lord. Was it punishment? Were these people sinners above all others? You're familiar with the scriptures in the book of Luke, in the 13th chapter. Christ talked about those whose blood mingled with the sacrifices he killed innocent Israelis. And he talked about those that the Tyre Shalom fell on. Were they sinners above all others? Christ asked this question. He answered it one of the words. Read that again one more. He said, repent. That's the same thing happens to you. I don't think what he meant was repent or a tower's going to fall on you. I think what he was talking about was repent or destruction. We know that he was talking about eternal destruction. Just because this happened to these people, they were not worse sinners than anyone else in the world. Please. We need to leave our borders before we find places that are worse. Should we go to Las Vegas, L.A., New York? Roma? The answer is insane, in my opinion, to think that this is a punishment of God on these particular people. 50%, as I mentioned, believe in God, but they claim that these natural disasters are just that. Natural. These are things that naturally happen. And in a sense, they're exactly right. Mudslides happen because there's a force called gravity. You have mud up here, and it gets saturated and heavy, and the gravity pulls it down, and it slides down. Whatever's in its way, pay the price. Same principle for an avalanche. And gravity has its natural laws, and it affects other things. Some of these natural disasters even have a purpose. Hurricanes actually have a purpose. Hurricanes cool the earth. If there were no hurricanes, the earth would be warmer than it is right now. Some happen for seemingly no reason whatsoever to the common person's mind or data. There are explanations as to why they happen, but why would God create something like that? We don't have all the answers to this creation. But these things do happen. Floods, well, what's the natural? You put more water than a space can hold, you're going to have a flood. So those who claim that justice is natural have a valid point. They do have a valid point. But I'll add to that. You see, there are those who claim that the reason these events happen and are growing in scale and numbers because of man's problems with this creation, what we do. There are those who claim that earthquakes are more frequent and greater nowadays because of our nuclear testing, our underground nuclear testing. In fact, that's what some Islamic nations have fighting we, it's because of the United States. Now, on the ground, nuclear testing, it caused that earthquake, it caused the tsunami. Some people think that you shouldn't live in certain areas because if you do, you're bringing these things on yourself. You live along the coast, eventually a hurricane is going to hit you. You live next to a river, eventually a flood is going to affect your house. You live in California, eventually you're going to feel the current flood. And I say, yeah, where do you know to get away from this stuff? I know the Midwest. Let's go to Tornado Alley. The thing is, there is no escape from the forces of nature. No matter where you live, there's something there. And if it isn't a weather-related thing, it's an animal, or it's a bug, or it's something. This isn't a perfect world. And yet we know that God is in control. The earth is constantly shifting and changing, and these things happen. Why did close to 200,000 people die on that day and the days following? Why millions die tragically every year? You see, the reason that's brought to our attention is because this all happened at one time. This amazing, powerful event destroyed hundreds of thousands of families, took hundreds of thousands of lives, destroyed thousands of buildings. So naturally, it's brought to the world's attention, and we focus on our report, but get aside for that. These things happen daily. There was a family in Richmond who has just lost a young teenager. You don't think they feel the tragedy of this? There are American soldiers coming home every day in body bags fighting in Iraq. You don't think they feel the sting of tragedy? How can you allow this to happen? So much for nature. How about time and chance? Our good friend Solomon spoke about time and chance. Verse 11 of chapter 9 says, I returned, and I saw under the sun that the race was not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happened to them all. So it was just strictly a matter of time and chance. I find it interesting, yes, time and chance does affect our lives. If God put his hand up, really, I would say a greater effect on our lives. But God does not keep up his hand off our lives completely. I think when Solomon wrote this book, obviously, he was not in the best state of mind. He talked about vanity. The first part of the book, all is vanity. Does this sound like a person who's happy with the way life is not? All is vanity. You know, build stuff, you get all kind of riches, then what happens? Some fool comes along behind you. And I won't use the word I was just thinking, but they get rid of what they wasted. Life is vain. Time and chance happen to everyone. I think he had a little attitude problem with that. Time and chance does happen, but yes, the Lord's hand is involved in our lives, especially when he calls you out, when he chooses you, when he gives you his spirit. You are not available to time and chance like some people think we are. The Lord does state things. I told you about something that happened to me. You explained to me how two vehicles going 70 miles an hour, one dropping a 4-foot, 90-pound beam, steel beam, off of the bed of his truck, hits off the road, comes up, hits my truck, 6 inches away from my windshield, a foot from my head. The windshield doesn't even have a crack in it. 70 miles an hour, 80 pounds, beam of vehicle. I mean, does that make sense to anybody? I believe God had his hand involved. And by the same token, I think he had mercy on others too, because like I described, the steel beam, after it bounced around for what seemed like about 10 minutes, got wedged in my truck, so it did not damage that one or anything else. God was saying his hand is involved in his creation. And yet, it's a question that it does bear asking. I can't blame anybody for asking it. The scriptures tell us in Romans, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'm thinking, well, there was 170,000 people and a whole slew of others still alive who didn't seem to have much mercy in their life at that time. Well, I guess he pulled his mercy out of that geographical area for that one moment. chance or nature or whatever provides for these tragedies to happen, why doesn't God intervene? What about the thousands and thousands of innocent children? Some no more than many, some no more than we know that perish. I will have mercy on you, Lord, have mercy. It's interesting. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start reading verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together. We know that the whole creation, not only us, which maybe this scripture is emphasizing those created in the image of God, but the whole creation, so everything groans and prevails, waiting for the change. Why? Because it's needed. Because things happen. Tragedies happen. Nature isn't right. Are all animals the way they should be, the way that God created them? Our note tells me in Presbyterians that the lions don't like the land. Not there anyway. You can carry a lamb out under your arms to the nearest zoo where the lion tender hasn't been fed for a couple days. And see if that lion will lay next to that man. Nature's not right. There's something wrong. There's something amiss. There is violence everywhere. In the woodland, in the desert, in the seas. Human beings don't spend all their life, at least we don't in this nation, we're so blessed, but we don't spend all our life searching for food, right? Animals seem to. You go out into the oceans or the lakes or whatever, and you see a fish, if you drop down a little bit, food. Yes. Most animals, when they see an animal, they usually eat. They go eat it. Their lions are different. They eat and they just lay around for a couple days until they're hungry and they go take something down. Violence, tragedy in this creation, from the very smallest of paramecians and one-celled animals up to the most intellectual and developed of all God's creation. How? Why? What's God doing? Has he lost control? Is he unable to straighten this out? The archbishop said every single random accidental death is something that should upset a faith not bound up in comfort, or should upset a faith bound up in comfort and ready to end. You know what the problem with that statement is? This is not Eden. This is a fallen world. This is a world that is not. Christ said this. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have tribulation. You have to be a good cheer up to overcome the world. But why will we have tribulation? Because we live in a fallen world. The consequences of sin are automatic in some instances. God is merciful. God is. Here we go on. But one of the consequences of sin was to separate us from God and His ways. Sometimes we choose to live in the wrong places. If you live out under a cliff in California, in an area that's prone to mudslides, you make your own choice. The consequence might come upon you. If you drink and drive, you make your own choice, and the consequence will come upon you. If you smoke, chances are you're going to suffer health problems. Promiscuous sex. Chances are you're going to suffer health problems. Alcoholism. These are all things you choose to do. You suffer from the consequences of these things. Bad things happen because of these choices. But then again, I ask, What about those that are unrighteous? What about innocents who are destroyed and possessed? Where is God? How can a just God allow this? It is ironic that people accuse and blame God because of chance happening, because of his punishments. And you will blame God for violent acts in which innocent children are destroyed, in which innocent lives are taken, in which violent people do harm unto others and rob or steal. People would not complain about this. Why don't you let this happen to me? How can you let this happen to me? And yet, in this nation alone, not by time or chance, but by our choice, we choose to brutally murder, put to death over 1 million unborn children a year. Intentional. Not by chance, not time or chance, not nature. Does nature say that a mother will kill its child while it's still in the womb? That's against nature. It's not natural. It's not time or chance. It's intentional. And yet there's a cry against God when something like this happens. Even if it might be time. Even if it doesn't have something to do with someone's intentional choice. I think it's ironic that you hear people cry against God, and yet they will not cry out against intentional choices, intentional violent acts. Because we have the freedom of choice. This is why God does not step in and stop this case. We can do the same thing for abortion. He gave us something at the very beginning. Our ancestors. The original human race. Choice. And because of choice, he allows these things to happen. The first humans were free to make choices, and they made it wrong. And every human being since then is still free to make choices. We still make wrong. The first Adam brought death and destruction through his choice. And these things will continue until the second Adam returns and brings life and restoration. 1 Corinthians 15, 21-22, they say it like this. For since man came by death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. From the very beginning, man has chosen death. You understand that? From the very beginning, man has chosen death. Look in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, the very beginning, it says in verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat. Okay, here's the choice that the Lord God has given the man and put him in the garden. You can eat of every tree in the garden freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. There's his choice. The choice is either you eat it or you don't. You listen to me and eat from every other tree except this one, or you don't listen to me and you also eat from this tree. For in the day God saw all that he had made, and It was get what I'm saying? Pride is out of you. I want you to know. Okay. I understand the reason you have to be bad for you. How does that happen? Because you smoke too many cigarettes. Your body doesn't like that. This is what happens. How can you have to let that happen? That's the choice that will pay if you want creation to become. I get it. You heard the crying out about that. Where are those same people crying out against intentional murder and abortion? Do the same people cry out for that? Some of them are sure. Some of them don't. Remember Job? Job's a good man. Righteous law above all others in the earth, actually. That's what the word of the Lord said. The fact he brought us the attention of the great adversary. If there's no doubt to show, but that's not my thing. Right to the all man of the earth. You know, Satan's going to have to go to him. You build a hedge around him, you bless everything, you put the man's food in the way anyway. That's good. Alright. That's smart. All he has is his hand. But don't touch him. You know the story. Satan goes down, kills all his children. Has his flock stolen with him. Houses collapse. All that's left is Job, his wife, and the house of him. I don't know how much time goes by, it doesn't really say. But the scripture tells us that there was another time when the Son of God appeared before, or the Son of God appeared before the Son of God. And then the Lord again brings up Job to say, and then his name was first. Is it all this to him? And yet he's still trusting me. He still has faith. He still has nothing I need. He does not trust me. And Satan said, well, that's because you get my hand. That's because you have personal information. He said, no. That's it. It's yours. Anything he wants. Don't get it. And that's the story. The adversary came upon Job. Boils were upon his body, all kinds of things. I mean, he was in terrible, terrible pain. His life had become so wretched that his life was an excellent life. He had always blessed his huge family. Well, not a flock. We might not appreciate that life, but back in that day, that was a big part of his life. And it was all people. Everything. His life was so wretched, and his wife looked at him and said, curse God on his own. Interesting response. Before, actually, she said that. Job said this, take it, I come in, or come out of my mother's womb, and make it, I shall return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. I've lost everything. Blessed be the name. And then the Bible supports the town of hell, and how he talks about it. And his wife says this, why do you retain this every person that God has given? And Job says this, you speak as one of the foolish with one who speaks. What shall we receive good at the hand of God and receive not evil? I'm not going to blame God. I'm proud. He gives me good. And I'm also accepting God. Blessed be the name of the Lord, of the Lord, or the name of the Lord. As his three friends came, interviewed him, and tried to encourage him. Basically, what they did is confuse him. He made a real interesting statement. In verse 16 of Job 13. Though he slay me, yet I will trust in the Lord. Though he slay me, I will trust in the Lord. There are these people who make promises to where they're going to allow things like this to happen. You should really question the existence of the Lord if he's going to allow it to happen. You're going to trust God. Though he slay me, I will trust in the Lord. Do they have the attitude that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? And then the whole problem is, what is it all gone? It's not gone. God created this perfect place and these perfect people. And he said it's good, it's very good. And we screwed it up. It's not his fault, it's ours. God gives us gifts that we just had. There is a day ahead of us all, you realize. And we're going to find ourselves at the very least in something. There's a Proverbs 19, verse 3. It says, the foolishness of man perverts his way, and his heart presses against the Lord. The foolishness of man is causing these people to fret against the Lord. I have to question the Lord's existence. The Archbishop, ahead of 70 million proclaiming Christians, it forces you to question the existence of God. The foolishness of man believes that the sacrament of man is causing it to spread against the Lord. 9/11. We all know what happened then with the pilots, but 11 people centered above all of us. I'm sure some of them know that. Were they all absolutely not? They found out that. The year after it happened, I saw a program where they interviewed people who were related to these victims. Who played a active part in the rescue and identified it. But they were interviewing him by the brother, and he was a friend. And he was saying he was about believing before that place. He said, I can no longer believe God. I can no longer trust God. God is made so in him. I cannot believe in a God that will not repent. I cannot trust in a God that will not repent. I'm sure he felt the tension. And I feel so my heart does not. I think he can say he's not going to die. I still feel the tension. Again, I would have to ask, well, sir, we intentionally murdered 1 million of those children a year. There was 5,000 that were lost on that day. How about 1 million? And can you cry out against them? Well, not at all. We have to give her the same opportunity to choose death as the eternal theory of Adam and Eve. He's like, he had the same question, the same opportunity to give that Christian on me. I lay before you life and death. Choose life to the Lord. These things happen, the focus is on the death and destruction. So we have to consider how many times our lives are in despair. leave it, brother, and I'll tell you until 10 minutes with the mouse up and they put it above my head. I'll watch what's my time. So I think the Lord's faithful to that. I'm going to do it. How many people are using a mouse? I've had a moment in their life where the Lord says, I do that testimony. I have testimony right now. I'm going to tell my mouth. Moses and act of judgment. I think the God views God be a little differently than people when he's judging first. First of all, there's a warning. This is going to happen to you all, and this is why. Not out of the blue. To make sure the people understand, for these people understand what's going to happen and why. And he gets a chance to repent. Not always the best chance. Receive well. Sometimes, I consider God's hand of protection. I realize this. That if he does not time and chance will happen. Natural disasters will happen. Violent acts will be perpetrated. So I think instead of me thinking God's judgment is taking place, God's vengeance is taking place, God's punishment is more like he's delivering us. And he's alive. To understand the full force of my soul. And if a day ever since God did, and how wrong and how tragic they are. Clearly, how can we understand it? How can Adam and Eve clearly understand the tragedy of their choices unless they saw it? Before they saw that, would they understand what that meant? Would they understand a piece of ground that won't break forth crops like they want to? Living in the Garden of Eden and everything it touched, you know, springs forth fruit. And it's all good to the eyes and good to the taste. But they truly understand it. People truly understand it. They're coming to understand the consequences. And I hope in doing so, they also truly understand the grace of God and how for salvation and redemption. The blood of Christ that cleanses them, that renews them, and that will bring us back. Children that are abused, sexually assaulted. An interesting, not interesting piece that this blows my mind. There are people offering children ways out of this non-stricken area, and what they're doing is kidnapping them and making them pregnant at the same time. But we live in a perverted, disgusting world. Is this the world God has created? Is this the world that's come to be for our children? Grant faith into us. Satan influenced Satan. But he didn't grab that example over a mouth. says to me in my word,